everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, with a fun group of people here in the studio with me. But first, let me tell you about the rest of the show. Later on, sorry to say, you will just have me here for the inbox, answering a question from a guy who wants to know if he can even go to Las Vegas, Nevada. My goodness, what is there for men there who want to honor Christ? So I will weigh in on that, because we all know that I've been there. But anyway, I will have other things to say just besides that. And then for our culture segment, very pleased to have Pastor Mark Driscoll back with us here. And we'll be talking about his newest book, which is called Who Do You Think You Are? Or as I like to say, Who Do You Think You Are? Running around leaving scars. That's a song. But I won't take credit for that. Whoa. I will let other actually professional artists sing that type of stuff. But no, great conversation with him on identity, which is what we're going to talk about here for our roundtable. So glad to have Andrew and Martha here in the studio. Oldies but goodies.
Hey, hey guys. Lisa.
Hey.
The usual suspects. And a new friend of the Boundless Show, Dax Bushway. Dax, welcome.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
Not really a new friend of the show, because you listen.
I do. Yeah, I listen a lot.
Okay.
Love the Boundless Show.
We appreciate that.
Good answer.
We had to bring him in. Yeah. Dax is one of our younger guys. He's a local yokel here, but a college student.
Yokel.
Yeah. So had to bring a guy in college into the mix because, as I said, we're going to talk about identity here. And there's a lot of talk about identity in the church today. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, what's your identity? Is your identity in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? Mark and I will talk about that a little bit. But we want to just start by talking about, I think at some point we kind of come to this watershed moment in our lives where we realize, okay, like, who am I really? Like, am I putting on a front? Am I really being myself? Is this who I was meant to be? What if I'm supposed to be someone else? What if this whole, my life has been a sham? You know, maybe people don't think about that. Maybe that's just me. But I want to talk about, like, where you are right now. Are there any seasons of your life, let's just start out with this, where you have noticed, like, a shift in either kind of who you were or who you understood yourself to be? I mean, what have been kind of a few of those moments where you've been like, I've changed, or maybe I haven't changed enough, or maybe I just understood who I am. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think a lot of my changes relate to you know, different times in my life and different social circles. I think of even going back all the way to middle school, and even just remembering some of the awkwardness and some of the insecurities that I had back then. And now looking back and thinking, oh my gosh, I wish I could go talk to myself and say, you're not going to care about what any of these people think, which I do. If you're listening, I do care what you think. But you know, and thinking of those insecurities and then how at different times, like, there's been different things that have come up. And one of the things that changed for me, which I didn't expect, is I had the chance to go to school, go to seminary and study. And when I finished, my identity changed because a lot of my friends started asking me to marry them and like to do their weddings and stuff. And that was something where all of a sudden I was
to
like,
to do their weddings, not to marry them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all these people started asking me to marry them. And I was like, yes, I will. But yeah, so I think that was kind of something I didn't anticipate, where people saw me as, okay, now you're kind of like this pastor type friend.
That's interesting.
And even some of my friends will call me the pastor, like, hey, pastor, or, you know. And so it's that's kind of one of those things where, and I've started to teach a little bit and people will identify me that way. And I don't really often think of myself when I'm just hanging out with my friends. I don't think of myself as, oh, the teacher or the pastor. But people do look at me and think, no, you've done stuff like that. You've done weddings. And so you are that. And so that's something that I had to come back to and like almost like recalibrate my thinking, you know. So I think that in this season, that's something that I'm kind of getting used to, because in some ways I still think of myself as kind of a young, you know, young adult who, you know, is, you know, single and just kind of living life and keeping busy. But there, it is interesting, like different perceptions and how much our identity is who we see ourselves to be in the perceptions of others, in a, like, if that makes sense. So I don't know, kind of looking at other people as a mirror and saying, how do you see me? Oh, that's how I should see myself.
Well, I had kind of experience like that in junior high, of moving from sixth grade to seventh grade was significant. Of, first of all, our school was just split up, you know, elementary and then high school, 7th through 12th. And elementary school, I'd like to think I was pretty popular, cool girl. I mean, like I would.
Did
I would,
you run the show, Martha?
I kind of run the show. Okay. No,
you're Queen Bee.
Like I was
Queen Bee, a sleepy eye elementary.
Well, I was like that. The star, you know, in one of our plays, and I mean, like school. I mean, things just kind of came easily and stuff of doing well in school. But then, like in seventh grade, suddenly you're on the bottom of the pack. Of I'm a little peon, and there's these seniors in high school. Who am I? You know, how do I handle this? And I think part of my personality really changed of just being more quiet and introverted, of and maybe unsure compared to how I was in elementary school. So,
I think for me, when I started going into high school, I had just gone through like a really rough season in my life, and like my sister had cancer and stuff like that. So everyone knew me as that kid who I was Maggie's brother, basically. Mm-hmm. And then when our new youth pastor came, he started asking me to be on the leadership team, stuff like that. And it didn't matter that I was Maggie's brother. I was just Dax. I was just a kid. Mm-hmm. So my identity kind of went from, you know, the poor suffering family to, you know, really a kid who is involved in youth ministry. So that was kind of I really liked that identity change. I didn't have to say, yeah, you know, back when Maggie was sick. Yeah, that was me. That was her brother. So,
which is so interesting. And you guys stay tuned when I talk to Mark Driscoll, because he talks about one of our identity idols can even be suffering. How we take on, you know, this, oh, this is my story. I'm not going to get out of it. I'm associated with someone who has cancer. This is all. So that's very interesting. How that's neat that you had a youth pastor that was able to call you out of that and see something in your story beyond that. That's very cool. Okay, I want to get back a little bit to kind of these scripts that we kind of put in our heads, because some people, you know, like getting back to elementary school or junior high, God forbid, do we have to go back there in our minds? I've shut it off. But, you know, some of us were told things or said, you know, things were said about us, things were called out of us or whatever, that we have not been able to let go. And I mean, there are some people, you know, like you said, Andrew, you know, you're like, yeah, I wish I could go back and just tell myself you're not going to care about this. But I know people in their 30s that have not been able to let go things that were said about them.
Just last night, my small group, we were talking about some of our nicknames. Mm. And it was interesting. Just sad. Of one girl talked about how she had buck teeth growing up and long hair, and she loved horses and kind of a longer face. And her nickname was Horse. Oh, and she remembers that to this day. And she says that it didn't bother her because she liked horses, you know. But really, I mean, that's just sad. And that's sticks
with you. You like horses and not want to be a horse, okay?
I mean, yeah.
That sounds like that's sad.
Yeah.
There were several stories like that. It was just kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I've tried to do, because there are times that there are certain moments where somebody hurt me really bad, or you know, as they said something or did something that caused pain, and there's been times in my life where I've had to just kind of, you know, give that over to God. And I know that sounds really like that's very Christianese, but to pray over it and say, you know, I really forgive that person for doing that. Like, I may never see them again, or I may never talk to them about it, or even just tell them about that even hurt me. Because there's so many things like that where, you know, we might say something as a joke, and then we find out, oh my gosh, they still remember that. And I actually had a girl that I was in high school with on Facebook, and it had probably been over a decade since I was in high school with this girl. And she sent me a message on Facebook, and I kind of remembered her from high school, but not that much. And she's like, yeah, we were in an art class together sophomore year, and you guys were, you know, laughing and joking around, and I like yelled at you guys and said, why don't you just like straighten up? And she still remembered that. She said, would you forgive me for yelling at you guys? Like, I've always felt bad about that.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And I mean, I told her, I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like I hadn't thought of it. Like, I'm sorry that we were goofing around. And I mean, but you know, that kind of thing that does stay with us, that we remember things like that, whether it's us that said, I mean, there's things that I remember like growing up, things that I said that still kind of jab me a little bit when I think of them, just like, man, I wish I would have never said that to somebody I cared about. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that part of what we do with that is to come to God and say, Lord, like, help me to, you know, forgive anybody who has hurt me, and also to forgive myself for hurting other people. You know, times that I've been the one that said something, and just say, Lord, you know, forgive me for this. That's part of restoring our identity.
Well, I think recognizing the truth in it, too, of like, is what was said about me or I said about someone else, is that even true? Mm-hmm. And realigning with what God says of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard, though, because why would someone say that? You know, I think that's where people can go back to those scripts and say, why did they say that about me? What prompted them to say mm-hmm. that? And we can start taking that on as like, that's all that people see in me, or that's all that I'm going to be identified or remembered for.
Yeah.
What? So speaking of which, what would you guys say? Where are you tempted to find your identity? I mean, there are a number of things that we can find our identity in. And, you know, before I get all scriptural on y'all, let's talk about the wrong ways that we find our identity.
You know, I think my tendency is to find my identity in how I perform, like in school, in church, all this kind of stuff. Like, it's a huge temptation for me. I love getting A's in my classes. It's, you know, it feels like I've accomplished something. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, I don't do good on a test, when I, you know, didn't get some homework done or something, you know, it has the potential to ruin my day. And I remember in high school, stuff like that would happen. Like, I would come home, I'd flunked a math test or something. I'm like, I'm done. I'm a terrible student. And my parents are like, Dax, where are you finding your identity? Hmm. You know, is Jesus still your savior? And I would go, well, yeah, but he doesn't care about math. And they're like, no, but he cares
he
about you.
Trust me.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's constantly having to remind myself that it's, you know, yes, God has called us to be good at what we do, but our identity isn't in that. It's in that Jesus Christ died for us, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've often found my identity just working at Focus on the Family as kind of a badge of honor of, look at me. I'm the top of the Christian culture world. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's been a dream of mine for a long time to work here. But what's interesting is, you know, 2 years ago, actually it's 4 years ago now, you know, when I was laid off from my job working with Brio, that was taken away from me without mm-hmm. my say at all in the matter. So that, it did shake my world of needing to learn, you know, Focus on the Family can come or go. What are those things that I'll take with me and knowing who I am? So I think I have a different perspective now working here a second time than I did originally. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that. I mm-hmm. think that was an important lesson for me to learn.
I've often thought about that because as we've gone through a number of, you know, layoffs here at Focus and stuff like that, I often think to myself, do people wonder, because they always say, you know, oh, this, you know, it's not about you. It's just different positions that had to be eliminated or whatever. But inevitably, you have to say to yourself, if I were important enough, if I my position was valuable enough, if I did enough, they would have found a way to keep me. And I'm sure there's got to be a script that runs through your head that's very difficult to turn off.
That did kind of go through my mind. Thankfully, my whole department was cut, so it wasn't just
so
me.
So none of you were valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay.
Well, I mean, that was a different way.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily have to take it personally, but maybe the ministry we were doing, you kind of mm-hmm. question, like, wait, I thought this was important.
Right. So.
I was reading Brio every week.
Oh, wow.
That's creepy.
Nah, what's Brio? Actually, yeah, and I can relate to that, too, because I think that a lot of times in my life, my identity has been kind of this, I need to think of myself better than I do, like but there are temptations where pride can take over, and I feel that. I mean, working at Focus, you know, I get to teach some college classes, and I teach at church, and all these things are great opportunities, and I love to do them, but it is, you have to be careful of that, because you can start to feel like, well, I've worked really hard and I've done well, and people are finally seeing how awesome I am. And you have to come back and say, no, God has given me these opportunities. Like, God is allowing me to do these things. And we have to fight against that as hard as we do against a kind of a negative perception of ourselves, too. Mm-hmm. Pride, I think, is more of a temptation than kind of this, you know, moroseness of, man, I'm just nothing. And, you know, I can't do anything on my own.
There's two extremes there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's something that I have to battle, because there's even times, you know, just with my friends just hanging out, where somebody will say something to me, and my thought is, I would never tolerate in the classroom, or people at work would never say that to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, ooh, like, I need to really check my heart on that. Like, who do I think I am, you know? Mm-hmm. And that I really have to come back to that, like, you know, God has given me this ability, I need to steward it, but remember that, you know, that I'm just a faithful steward of gifts that he's given me, and he could take them away at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When do you struggle with identity envy? So, like other people that you wish, whether it's their gifts or their circumstances or their whatever, how does that kind of creep up on you?
Well, actually, Lisa, I envy you.
Confess it, Martha.
Well, this is an intervention, Martha. Yeah.
I mean, your wittiness and like, oh my word, she has a comeback or something to say to everything. And I, maybe 5 minutes later, I'll have something I could add to the conversation.
That is a gift.
It really is. And that's why we have this podcast, because of people like
her. And Talisa goes the witty comeback gift.
Martha, just add it 5 minutes later. It's not too late.
Awkward. That's not how humor works. But
yeah, it is funny. And I think I have actually had other people tell me stuff like that before, because the stuff that I am good at tends to be rather public. And I think that people weight that differently, you know, and think that, oh, well, this gift is better than this because it's more whatever. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, just spend some time around me and you'll easily start seeing the cracks. I mean, let's just be honest. Yeah. So, yeah, I just trend away from the stuff I can't do. It's why I only do 3 things in my entire life. That's all I do. I just focus on 3 things because everything else I can't do. I'm not competent.
Yeah, I think I feel that the most at this stage of my life when I'm around my friends that we were single together and now they're married. And I mean, now some of my friends are married and having kids, or, you know, and so it's hard to be around them and not feel like, man, I wish I was married and had kids, and to start to feel that. And the identity thing, I think, is what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You know, why am I not here? Like, it makes sense that I would be, you know, is it something that I'm doing, or is it something that God is imposing on me? I think that's a big identity question, is God hindering me somehow? Like, mm-hmm. is God upset with some area of my life and basically keeping me from what I want? And I think that's another thing that we wrestle with as far part of our identity, you mm-hmm. know, this feeling of when God holds back something from our life, or however we think about that, we start to think maybe it's who I am, or maybe he's, you know, putting his finger on some area of my life, which is possible. I mean, we don't know that he's not, but that's something that we have to wrestle with at the level of who am I?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd kind of agree with that, kind of going off what you were saying about like marriage and stuff. I mean, for the stage of life I'm in, most of my friends aren't getting married, but a lot of them, you know, have girlfriends, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I've always kind of been jealous of the guy who all the girls love him, you know, stuff like that, because he just says all, you know, all the right things and stuff like that. And, you know, I find myself always wishing, oh man, why can't I be like that? You know, but then you kind of dig down and it's like, what is he really accomplishing there? You know, is that going to get him any closer to marriage? Is that going to make him a better husband? No. You know, so it's kind of that jealousy that's kind of unfounded. You know, why would you want to be like that? But that's something I always struggle with.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny how, I mean, do you guys ever see how you look at people and you're like, why in the world does this person struggle with that lie? Because whatever they're struggling with, you're like, it's so obviously not true. Mm. And so I see, you know, and so that's just in our last couple of minutes here. Let's just talk about how we really can speak truth into one another's lives and call lies out of people. Because I have friends that I'm just like, I know they think they are not beautiful. They are not smart. They are not competent. They are not lovable. They are not. And I just feel like I could have a full-time job several times over speaking truth into their life. And I'm just, you know, and part of me, this is my personality, is just like, can you just snap out of it and just recognize what is truth here and realize it? You know, and it just like, it boggles my mind because I'm like, you're so great, you know? So, I mean, how could we do that better for one another?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think we do it, you know, just personally, I see this in my life where I have to affirm my friends who are guys, especially as they're interested in a girl. Mm-hmm. Like, this comes up a lot where guys will just be talking like, you know, she would never want to go out with me. And I'm just like you said, what? Are you kidding? Like, she obviously likes you. And you're basically having to like say, no, seriously, like, you are a great guy. You will treat her well. You know, go for it. And and that's kind of, I think sometimes we let ourselves think, no, she wouldn't like me, or, you know, I don't want to make things awkward. And we talk ourselves out of things. And so I think part of it is, you know, just affirming them, because I think we're not very good at affirming each other. Like, a lot of people need a lot more affirmation than they get, you know. And so to kind of create a culture where it's easy, and I think guys struggle with this the most. Girls, you know, they tend to be very affirming, like, oh, you look so nice today. And then, like, a guy is like, I could tell her she looks nice, but then she might think I like her, and oh my gosh, what would that mean? and we, like, you know, we kind of you know, cripple ourselves. We shoot ourselves in the foot. So,
well, I don't even think guys tell other guys things often enough.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's that spirit of competitiveness and just, you know, guys don't do well at really building one another up.
Yeah. And in
compliment
each other.
It's like the let me tear you down and act like it's building you up kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
Diss you.
Yeah. We tease you because we love you.
Yeah.
Of thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah. And so I think that is definitely something where we have to kind of change our mindsets of like, that, and especially there's some that are really gifted at that. And to see that as a gift in the church, I think sometimes when we think of gifts, we're like, okay, there's teaching gifts, there's leadership gifts, and probably service gifts. But there is a gift of affirmation. And there are people that are really good at saying, you did a really good job on that. And let me tell you why. And you feel like, I mean, I feel like a million bucks when you, I mean, and it's, so recognizing that that is a need that people have, that people have an affirmation quotient and that we can fill that.
Mm-hmm. I think something that's been helpful for me is just to speak the lie. And I mean, you could have a lot of things in your mind of I can't do this, I'm not good about this, I'm too much this. But to say that and allow people to speak truth to you, I mean, maybe there are situations where even what they say to you doesn't help. But I think there's so much that we just hold inside that you need to let out, and maybe even just to discover that other people feel the same way. I mean, that can help just be part of the healing and growing, just be truthful about it to bring it to light.
That's something that I've noticed a lot. Like when I'm talking with my friends, like I went to dinner with a friend and he was, you know, he and I went to high school together and he wants to be a pastor and stuff like that. And he was kind of down on himself. And I said, Ben, you are loved by Jesus. You were chosen by him. He is our Lord and he has a plan for you and you have incredible gifts. And, you know, so I went through stuff like that and it helped him. And, you know, God calls us to do that, to, you know, to love each other. And I think when people hear that, it just means so much to them, you know, that someone took that time, you know, it's incredibly important.
Yeah. I did a little mini retreat with some girlfriends this past weekend, and I have this box of, like, it's called the girlfriend's box of questions or whatever. So we all pass these out. And one of the questions was, say something kind or affirming or something about the person on your right or whatever. And so you could tell, I mean, it was like, here we are, we're all girls that know one another pretty well. And it was still difficult for us. I mean, we felt awkward, but we, you know, as we started saying things, you could see, I mean, some of the girls were in tears and I'm like, oh my goodness, like how we should, I mean, we should be doing this often enough that it's not some landmark thing where this is the first time someone said something about me in a month or 2 months or longer or whatever. And just a reminder of how important that is. And sometimes it's something that you're going to call out that they do not recognize in themselves, you know, and that they would not have thought of. And so I think that there's an importance in that and, you know, just something we have to remember. Start with listening to this next segment with Mark Driscoll, because he's going to give you some ideas of some things. Anyone can go online and Google, who does God say I am? I mean, I think that's where we need to start and recognize going into scripture with who are we? Who does God say we are in his word? And if you have to write that out and put it on your mirror, do it. If you need to start speaking that back and forth with your friends, do it. But that's the great place to start. And then as we do that and start living it out, I think we'll see it manifested in the small day-to-day details of our lives and how we're uniquely gifted. You are uniquely gifted. And we are all part of a family discovering that together. So thanks you guys for being part of this and for sharing from your own stories in the midst of all that. So great job.
Thanks.
Thanks.